David had an enemy. Should have been one. We're studying David over these next 5 weeks. Part of the reason is he's just mentioned so much in the Bible as I start our service here this morning. When it talks about Jesus, who Jesus is, the lineage is tied to David. It's not tied to Moses. It's not tied to Abraham. It is ultimately tied to Abraham, but it's David that he gets the title, the son of David. It's because from David we get to see how Jesus works in a beautiful way, a powerful way that can transform our lives. David should have had an enemy here. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, that enemy was this man here named, did you catch his name? Mephibosheth. Can you say that? Mephibosheth. I had to practice that like 13 times to make sure I got it right. Mephibosheth. Now, why was he the enemy, potential enemy of David? Here's why. His grandfather was King Saul, the first king of Israel. And when Saul died, there was confusion in the land over who would be the next king. The next in line was Jonathan, but he died. And so there were two other siblings that had kind of a claim on the throne. And then there was this David who had gotten the blessing from the prophet Samuel. And in this time of confusion, David becomes the king. But you see, there would have been kind of some, perhaps some people questioning whether David was really the king because he didn't have the lineage from Saul. Some might have been questioning and saying, we need to find someone who's maybe a relative of Saul. Mephibosheth was the grandson of Saul. He had a right to the throne, in other words. And no one would have blamed David for lopping him off, knocking him off. That's what kings do. That's what countries do. They still do it to this day. In fact, if you look in 1 Kings, Baasha, the king of Israel, first thing he did, knock off the king and his lineage that came before him. King Omri in the Old Testament did the same thing, knocked off the lineage of those people that had a claim on the throne. No one would have faulted David for knocking Mephibosheth off. In fact, many people would have consulted him and said, it's the smart thing to do. It'll unify the country and people will know that you're the king. We can follow you. David didn't do that. David showed, here's another word to remember, chesed. Can you say that word? Chesed. Deep in your throat, chesed. That word in the Hebrew is this. It is covenant love. It is unconditional love. To someone that should have been an enemy, someone who deserved to be an enemy, David shows committed love no matter what to Mephibosheth. Now, if you don't think that's a big deal, I'm going to pause here for a second and go off on a tangent. Just for a moment. The Christian teaching that you should love your enemy, there is no philosophy, there is no other religion that teaches that. Think about that. It's unique to Christianity. Doesn't exist anywhere else. When Jesus would come and was incarnated and taught in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would say these words, you have heard it taught that you should hate your enemy. And Jesus said this, Jesus said, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Now, to be honest, Christianity shares a lot of attributes of ethical thought with all sorts of religions and philosophy. All religions kind of teach you shouldn't kill, and all religions teach that you should honor your father and mother, and that you shouldn't steal, and that you shouldn't covet, and all those things, and talk about other people. But only Christianity teaches this. Only. Love your enemy. Some in Islam will say it's found there in the Quran, but it's really just kind of a mild tolerance. It's not as strong as what's taught here by Jesus, and certainly not what's displayed here in the relationship of David and Mephibosheth. See, David welcomes Mephibosheth as if he's a son. David actually opens his table to Mephibosheth so that he can always eat. David restores the land lost from Saul to Mephibosheth. This is a deep and abiding love that he gives. How is it possible for us to do that, to love our enemy? That's hard. Can you picture an enemy that maybe you have this morning that you're thinking about? Yeah, that's pretty easy, isn't it? Here's how it's possible. Psychology has this thing that's come out. It's called, well, it says that how stable a person is and how balanced they are in life is dependent on how much love and affection that a person receives in their infancy, right when they're born. Maybe you've heard this before. But when I had my kids, I sure read that information. Do you know what it said? You know what Psychology Today says? Psychology is saying more and more that what matters in the first few weeks even is that an infant recognizes they have an abundant amount of food from their mother. They'll live with security and abundance the rest of their life.